Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Connor Beeb, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That?
Hello, Why Are People Into That fans? I am your host, Tina Horn. This is Lucky Episode 13, and my guest is Mitra Kaboli, who produces that other New York City-based sexuality podcast, Audio Smut. Mitra wanted to talk about teasing, because she loves to be teased, and she thinks that teasing doesn't get the credit that it deserves. So we talked about the long, slow build of foreplay. And we, of course, sort of broke down the concept of the cock tease and realized just how much that is an issue of sexual entitlement and assumptions. To me, teasing is all about reveling in desire, prolonging the consummation so you can really enjoy your yearning, hungry lust until you just can't take it anymore, and then you probably appreciate the satisfaction that you get so much more. Also, in Adventures in Figurative Language, I compare my pussy to a junkyard dog in this episode, so you definitely don't want to miss that. So here it is. Episode 13. Or is it? Okay. Here it comes. Nope. Not yet, you greedy, greedy listeners. Okay. I'm gonna give it to you now. Here's Why Are People Into Teasing. And now, spoken like a true sound engineer. So you're warmed up and ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Awesome. So thanks for coming over, Mitra.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Mitra Kaboli.
Kaboli,
fuck.
It's okay.
I'm such an asshole. Okay. We met because so many people started to say to me, oh, do you know about Audio Smut? Do you know about Audio Smut? Because you must know about Audio Smut because you are a smutty person and you do audio, so you must know about it. And right. At first I said, I don't know about it, but I'm going to check it out. And then I did check it out, and then I came to your thing in Union Docs that was so awesome. And even now, still, now that we've met and now that I know you, I still get people saying, oh, do you know about Audio Smut? So tell us a little bit about Audio Smut and how it got started.
So Audio Smut is a podcast that you can download and listen to. It's about, it kind of takes a critical look at, like, love, sex, and gender, and relationships, and, like, power dynamics. It's not overtly political, but, I think the way in which we approach the topics are personal, they're honest, they're intimate, and in that way, it's kind of like, it is.
I love that, like, when you say that it's more personal and political, like, for example, there was one episode recently about the natural pocket that was, it was about sex in the sense that it was about the body, in the sense that it was about, like, smuggling weed in your vagina. Yeah, and I thought that that was such a unique and interesting way to talk about sex in the body, because it really is not.
Yeah, that story was totally outsourced. It's by this woman named Ruth who pitched it to us. She had, like, made it for a project at school, and we were like, this is awesome. She is very talented, so talented, and I want her to be my friend, but she lives in Montana, which is really far away, so.
We can be friends from afar.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age.
Yeah, totally.
So tell us more about how Audio Smut came to be.
Yeah, so Audio Smut started at a radio station in Montreal called CKUT 90.3 FM. And it was started by a group of sex workers, and the format was, you know, two-way interviews, kind of like what we're doing right now. And the show, I think they left the show, and CKUT wanted some people to take it over, and they put a call out, and some people answered the call. Caitlin, the woman that I work with now, along with a few other people, answered the call, and they, like, amassed a team. And they, you know, rewrote a mandate and started kind of working with some iteration of the style that you hear now, like pre-produced stories that are, like, thought out on, you know, on a theme. And it was, it's funny, it played the last Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., like, drive time.
Wow.
And it was, like, raunch then.
Yeah.
You know, there was no shame ever.
And is the, are there the same, like, FCC regulations in Canada?
There are regulations. Obscenity laws in Canada, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, are defined not, there's no one law. It is defined by the community and, like, the place that you live.
Mm.
And so, like, we could do that show in Montreal, probably couldn't do it in Vancouver.
Because
it's, like, just generally more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Where Montreal, it's pretty liberal and everyone's, like, free love anyway, so, you know.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. We totally got away with it. It's kind of funny. And, like, only once ever got, like, a call-in complaint.
Yeah, I mean, probably mostly people were like, sweet.
Yeah, right? and then I joined the show in, God, I don't even remember, let's just say 2010.
Okay.
And then at that point, like, people had cycled in, cycled out. Caitlin was always there.
Yeah.
So I was working with the show for about 2 years, and then Caitlin moved to New York, and she was still kind of working remotely, and almost abandoned the show, and it was, like, just me in Montreal being like, guys!
So you joined the show in Montreal?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to school there. Sorry.
Okay. No, don't be sorry. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Caitlin and I met because we worked at the same restaurant, and at the time, and... So she was in New York, and she was kind of thinking of abandoning the show, and I was like, guys, what am I gonna do? It's just me now! And I was trying to make an hour of radio, even though it was once a month, that's still, like, a lot of content.
It totally is.
What happened? We Skyped one day, and... She said because she's kind of in, like, within a larger public radio community and has been for quite some time. And a lot of her public radio friends were like, no, you should do this show. There's nothing like this. It's totally innovative and it's good and it's, like, only going to get better. So we Skype one day. She's like, move to New York and, like, let's do this shit. And I was like, I just finished my degree, or, like, I was in my last semester of school, and I was like, all right. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that's a good reason to move to New York.
Yeah, so I did, and we've kind of been... And now there still is an Audio Smut at CKUT. We are not that show. It's different.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow, so it's, like, franchised.
Kind of, yeah.
Syndicated.
Yeah. So, like, we have the podcast, and they still have their show that airs 6 p.m., you know, like, every... at the last Wednesday of every month. And so we have the podcast, and we've, over since 2012, been kind of like renewing it every year and like reevaluating it and like kind of change the format like subtly every so often to like, you know, accommodate our needs and like kind of the changing media landscape and things like that. And like, really now we have like a pretty well-oiled machine that's kind of running on its own. We've got a lot of volunteers who are really awesome and help us out so much and are really talented, and it's really amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you were saying that originally that it was more raunchy than it is now. Is that something that you changed about it, or how did it evolve? It's
something that, as we are like steadily trying to, we're not like trying to mainstream, but like we are a little bit. You know,
nothing wrong with that.
We just want like a wider audience. We don't want to alienate people. And like, I don't think there was anything wrong with that time that Jess stuck a microphone up her vagina, but like, yeah, and the piece she made was actually quite beautiful.
Wow, where can I hear that?
I think I have it somewhere. I can send it to
you. Need
she like
to
I think hear she, that. I think she made like an album out of it, actually.
Oh my God.
And I think I have it on a hard drive. I'll send it to you. She used a contact mic, not a regular mic.
Good to know.
Yeah. The show still is sexy sometimes, but it's not always sexy. And like, you know, we don't want to just be like straight up shocking. You know, we're not going for shock value. We're just going for like honest representations of sex. Like, so not pornography a lot of times. Mainstream pornography, that is, and like not what you see in movies either, because that's not really real either, but just totally. Like what it is,
porn and movie and like non-porn movies are like two different kinds of fiction.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Cool.
Yeah,
awesome. And so one thing before we get into what we're going to talk about on the show today, I wanted to ask you about something that you were talking about before, which I really relate to, which is the idea that, or the fact that because you do this show that has smut in the title and is about sexuality, although it definitely sounds like, and it also sounds like from what I've listened to of the recent episodes, that it's not about appealing to people's prurient interest or being arousing per se, or being particularly like outre or shocking, and yet people expect that just the fact that you do something creative or investigative about sexuality, that that must say something about your personal sexuality.
Yeah, that is something that happens quite often, to be honest. And it's kind of frustrating, you know, like as if I can't be, you know, have this just by way of, like, uttering the word sex that, like, culturally to people says something about me, apparently.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's kind of fucked up. Like, I think we are all adults and can have adult conversations about sex without being sex monsters. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
So you think that people assume that you're a sex monster?
Yeah, pretty much. Or, you
but
know.
But you're not, but you wouldn't identify as a sex monster.
I don't
monster.
Identify as a sex monster. I think people think that, I don't even know how to phrase this. I think people think I'm, interested in all kinds of kink and things like that, and, like, they have sex with me, it'll be, like, the craziest thing that's ever happened to them, and it's like, no, you know, maybe we'll have a vibe and it'll be good. Yeah. Just like literally anybody else you have sex with ever.
Right.
Like if we vibe, it'll be good. Like,
right.
If we have a connection, if we're comfortable around each other, if we like the same things, it'll be good.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in less intimate situations, but more social situations, there's kind of an assumption that, you know, I'm, for lack of a better word, DTF. Down to fuck. Maybe. But, like, only, like, maybe. Just maybe. Just, well, like, I'm not more DTF than anybody else.
Right. Well, no, the thing that's interesting to me about that is the idea that is this very sexist idea that because you have, in your creative or professional life opened up something that is about sexuality, that just by virtue of talking to you, that somebody has gotten past that, like, some sort of, like, first step, and now has more intimate access to you because you have, like, thrown open those doors as if now you're not allowed to define your boundaries for yourself.
Yeah, like, people think, like, that because I can openly discuss sex when I feel like it.
Right.
That I am willing to do so anytime. I've been on a couple, like, I'm, like, dates. Some of them OkCupid, some of them not. Doesn't matter. In which, like, people just thought they could, like, talk to me about stuff. It's like, dude, we just fucking met.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about this right now. Like, you know what I mean?
And then when it's
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I get uncomfortable. Yeah. I have boundaries.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's really what it boils down to, is that you have your own boundaries.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I experience that as well. I wouldn't necessarily say that I am, here's the thing, like, I identify as a big, giant slut, and that doesn't mean that I am down to fuck anybody who I go on a date with, or who approaches me, or who wants to talk to me about my fucking podcast, or talk to me about my work, right? Like, just because we're talking about sex doesn't mean that now...
we're, like, gonna have sex.
Yeah, we're gonna have sex. And I am, you know... Like, if you have sex with me, it will be unlike, like, any other experience you've ever had. You know, all I'm saying is that, you're like, yeah, I, like, and I am kinky, and I am, a lot of things that I talk about are really raunchy and probably shocking to a lot of people and out there, but I feel like I really relate to you and still have the same experience where it's like, just because I am into spanking, for example, or will... write an article about spanking, or even as a sex worker, like, make a film in which I get spanked, that doesn't mean that I want you to spank me, or that you get to spank me, or that I'm going to enjoy the way that you spank me, because maybe you're not good at spanking, or maybe I just don't want that from you, right?
So, yeah, I think it just, like, boils down to, like, some sort of, like, entitlement. I don't know.
Absolutely. I completely agree. It's a really fucked up sense of entitlement. I mean, I think that people are, like, not even used to women talking about sex, understanding sex, being openly curious about sex,
mm-hmm.
and so then it just brings up a bunch of fucking misogynistic assumptions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Word.
Word. Yeah, fist bump on the radio! what's the verbal version of a fist pump?
Yeah, girl!
Yeah, girl.
Or just like a high five.
Yeah. High five on the radio. Cool, so, well, let's segue from there
mm-hmm.
into something related, which is what we settled on to talk about today, which is, why are people into teasing? and tell me, so just right off the bat, tell me why that was something that you suggested.
I really like being teased quite a bit. I mean, there is just, like, and I think sometimes foreplay is neglected.
Mm.
It's just like, let's do this shit. It's like, no, hold up. Like, this is my favorite part.
Yeah.
like, let's slow down. Like, I find myself, like, constantly telling partners to, like, slow down.
Yeah.
To, like, let's back it up. Like, and I find that if I don't have, like, adequate excitement about the upcoming wherever this is going to go,
yeah.
and it's, like, kind of hard for me to get into it, and I'm, like, squirmy, and I'm a little stilted, like, because
yeah.
I'm not, like, total, and I'm also very ticklish, so, like, I need to, like, get past a phase to be, like, totally in my body, otherwise I'm, like, in kind of, like, my brain, and, like, tickle zone, and whatever. And, like, I just, like, I like the back and forth of, like, you know, setting a boundary and then kind of, like, in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, just be like reevaluating it. Mm. Like the first time, okay, let's just say, for example,
yeah, scenario.
You've been on a couple dates with someone, you haven't done anything, but like the tension is building.
Yeah.
There's just like this build of tension, and for whatever reason, you're not really ready to like be wholly intimate with them. Like, and so you're making out, and that's all you've done so far, and there's nothing will ever be as good as that first makeout ever. Or like the excitement that you feel, and like for me at least, like before it goes any further, like if it went any further, you will never be able to have that like tension filled makeout again.
Oh my god, that's so fatalistic. I hope that there are different ways that one I just, can have it that you can generate that kind of excitement.
I've been trying to find ways to build the same tension, and I just cannot recreate it if I've, you know, gone past that point with somebody. And so I really like to like cling to that moment, and I think in like having a really like teasy long before the sex or whatever you guys end up doing is a way to like recreate a little bit of that like first tension. I'm talking with like someone you've been having intimate relations with for a while, obviously, but that doesn't have to be the case at all. But yeah.
Well, I think that that we do have a tendency to put an emphasis on, for example, like to put an emphasis on penetration, to put an emphasis on orgasm, to put an emphasis on intercourse, to put an emphasis on certain kinds of sex as that's sex.
Yeah.
And all of the other stuff
like
is,
it doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's like a means to an end.
Right. And you know, even when you think about some of the ways that we talk about sex, there's a hierarchy of first base, second base, third base, home run.
And even in talking right now, I'm finding it hard to, like, articulate this in a way that, like, I'm trying to avoid using language like that, and I'm finding myself struggling.
Right, because that's how
it that's how we talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but part of what you're saying is that part of what you're talking about when you talk about teasing is really talking about foreplay and the fact that maybe you're feeling horny, maybe you're feeling passionate, maybe you're feeling really excited about consummating your attraction to someone or whatever it is that is your motivation for consensual adult sex. But that sometimes taking a step back and slowing it down can make the whole experience more pleasurable, more satisfying, more passionate, and maybe even create better connection and better of all the things that people want to get out of sex.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think there's a little bit more like dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
At that stage of intimacy, and I like a dialogue, and I think there's just more like fun and like play, and like I kind of like, I like silliness, I like goofiness. Like,
do you mean dialogue in terms of verbal conversation, or do you mean like bodies talking?
I mean verbal conversation. Okay. You know, like, and I kind of like the, you know, like the constant back and forth of like kind of checking in, like I find that like really, like I find that like hot, and to like take it like step by step, to just be like, okay, we're gonna do this now, and like I'm not sure if I want to do anything more than this, but you know, maybe if you ask me in a little bit,
do you,
I could be game.
Yeah. Do you like talking dirty? And this is, by the way, not...
Whoa, okay, I've just had this conversation with someone recently.
But can I just disclaim and say that this I love it when you talk about, like, your personal desires and your personal experiences, but this can also be more general. I don't want you to feel like I'm, you know, interrogating you
and your sex life. I just, like, only know how to relate to myself. I don't want to, like, speak in general, I guess.
Sure. Just, whatever you're comfortable
with. Just because I can't speak to everyone, perhaps.
Of course.
I think dirty, I would love it if one of my partners was really good at it, but I've never met anyone who has, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
I think you, like, need someone who is good at it to, like, initiate it.
Mm.
And, I mean, but that's also my personality, or, like, my sex persona, I guess. Like, I really need someone to, like, show me the, like, lead me. Like, I need a little bit of, like, someone to show me.
Yeah, you were saying that earlier too.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, part of the reason why I and maybe other people like teasing, like, in the being teased, that is, I'm speaking to being teased. You know, because I don't like being totally in charge.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I like to, like, get to a point where I can, like, slowly build up, like, a surrender of, like, my body in a way.
Oh, that's really sexy.
You know?
Well,
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And I like to get to that point, but if I don't have adequate coaxing, then I might not get there.
Well, isn't it interesting? I feel like, so part of what you're talking about is wanting a partner to initiate, wanting a partner to be dominant, wanting a partner to use the word instigate, and then that person is coaxing you or teasing you. But the truth of the matter is that, of course, it actually does end up, once that person sort of sets it going, then you are also teasing back, and it's an exchange and a conversation. I was being glib talking about bodies talking, but
I love
a combination of that. I love it when people are talking dirty in a way that's establishing consent. Like, I really want to do this to you. Would you like that? You would
look,
it would be so, you know, it would be really hot if I would do this thing to you. You look so good when I do X, Y, Z to you, and then you're like, yes, baby, I really want you to do that, or no, I wouldn't really like that, but can we do this other thing?
Yeah.
And then it's a give and take. I mean,
what
you're talking about as being a bottom or wanting to be more submissive is not about being passive at all. Like,
no, I don't think I'm being passive.
Yeah.
And I don't think people who are, you know, I would passive isn't what it is. It's just more, I mean, it's like the role I like to play, I suppose.
Yeah, I really think that when you strip away the sort of trappings of those roles, they really actually are quite equal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like, when it comes to sex, if somebody's in charge, that person is not actually in charge of you, unless that's something that you discussed, you know, which is totally groovy, and I'm all about that. But for a lot of people, when you take charge in bed, or you take charge even if you're playing at a kinky scene, you're not actually the master of the person that you're taking charge over. It's just sexy to feel physically, to feel the intention of someone, to feel their passion for you, right?
Yeah, and, like, I want that, you know?
Yeah.
I want that.
What? Tell me more about what that is that you want.
You know, I just, like, I want someone to, like, really want me, but, like, I also kind of, like, and I think maybe this is what's appealing about teasing, is like, you know, playing with the boundaries a little bit can like create more desire.
Yeah.
You know, it, you know, it's like, oh, we're not really there yet. Like, you have to wait. And like that, and like, I think that goes back to like the building of the tension that I was talking about, and like reaching, a metaphorical climax of desire.
Yeah.
Which will maybe ultimately lead to, you know, an actual climax.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. But, yeah.
So
am I making sense?
You are making sense.
Okay.
Let's talk about some practical things. So let's say that we were giving people advice, that people are listening to this and they're like, okay, well, you know, they're making it sound really appealing. So like, how can I bring more teasing into my sex life? You know, or somebody is hearing what you're describing and saying, oh, I really would like to provide that thing that Mitra is describing.
Yeah,
so how can people tease and be teased?
I think the easiest way is like physical barriers. So like clothing.
Yeah.
One, you know, I kind of really like to slowly, remove the layers.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of really like being touched over my clothes. I find it almost better in a lot of times. And it like, it leads to a point of wanting to then ultimately like be skin to skin, I guess. Sorry, that sounds really weird.
Skin to skin. No, that sounds great, actually.
And I think, so that's one.
Well, yeah. I mean, so that's one. And I really relate to that too. I mean, I definitely can think of like, if somebody just rips off all my clothes and starts, you know.
Well, that can be nice too, but.
That can be nice in certain circumstances, but also, you know, if somebody just like goes straight for example, like if somebody just like puts their fingers in my pussy, like within like 2 minutes of making out, there are some circumstances where that is really great.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking it. However, if somebody touches me outside my pants and then takes off the pants and then touches me outside my panties, it makes me physically, like, it makes my pussy like yearn for it, like a chained up dog that is like straining on its leash.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm just comparing my own pussy to a junkyard dog here. No, nobody else's. But, you know, whereas, like, if you just, like, go right up to it, it's like, oh, well, there's not as much of a response there.
Yeah, like, make me want this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that there's also something to it where when somebody shows their own restraint, then it is, that's just sexy when somebody can pace themselves in that way, and then you know that they, I mean, it's a sign of respect, but it's also a sign that somebody, I think it's a sign that somebody has sexual skills, because, you know, which isn't to say that it's disrespectful to just, like, tear off all your clothes and tumble into bed, but, it can be a sign that you're actually interested in the other person's pleasure, and you're interested in like nuance, and you know.
Yeah, it is really nuanced. I think other ways to be effective teasers. Let me think. I think that, like I was talking about, like checking in and just like going step by step, like.
Yeah.
You know, if there is a hierarchy, then to follow it, you know?
Yeah.
If the hierarchy exists, then to, like, adhere to it. And
yeah.
Or, like, to not, like, if you're, you know, like, kissing, like, my neck and chest instead of, like, my mouth or, like, my tits.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, slowly getting to that, like, my inner thighs instead of my pussy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, and like keeping that restraint. It's like, I know you want to go down on me and I want you to go down on me, but like the longer that you don't, the more like insane I am going right now in a really good way.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say something and now I forgot what it was because that was distracting.
I know. I'm like kind of turned on right now.
That's
we're here for.
We're here to talk about arousal. So, do you also think that it's true for long-term relationships?
Both.
Yeah.
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 So even if you have gone down on somebody a million times, there's still something sexy to showing that restraint and making them really want it.
Yeah, like, let's recreate that first time tension.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think, you know, speaking as someone who is in a kind of a long-term relationship right now, like, I don't ever want, like, sex to feel, like, utilitarian. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're just here to get off, which, like, sometimes, you know, we might be, and that's fine. It's like, we're tired, we just want to go to bed, and, like, I just want to rub one out. Like, yeah. you know?
Oh, I relate to that for sure, yeah.
You know, like, that's fine, too, but, you know, I also, like, want to really, like, revel in pleasure.
Yeah. Reveling, I think, is a good word for it.
Yeah. Like, I want to take the time to, like, really enjoy each other's company.
Yeah. Well, it makes me think about what poly people call new relationship energy, right? I think that sometimes people...
The lust.
Yeah, well, I think that sometimes people struggle in long-term sexual relationships, really, whether they're monogamous or not, because... Mm-hmm. That familiarity feels like the opposite of the novelty that comes with the beginning of getting to know somebody, what it's like to go to bed with somebody that you don't know everything about. Mm-hmm. That's its own sort of psychological teasing. Yeah. Right?
And I mean, even if you've been, having sex with the same person for a while, I think there still is discovery to be had. Like, you just need to be creative.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you need to, like, talk about it and, like, see if you can, if this is maybe is a good idea, you know? Like, there is always new discovery, like, just thinking about my boo.
Yeah.
He's like, tried a new move the other day. Really proud of it, and it was fun. Like, it was nice. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that happened.
I mean, and also the part of the enjoyment comes from knowing that your partner wants to keep things fresh and cares about that.
Like, I don't, you know, sometimes I think we get caught in, like, habit and just like, well, this works and it's great, but you know, it gets a little stale sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's always room to, like, I don't think there's a way to have done all the things.
Yeah.
Like,
no, there's always something new to
do. There's something new to do. Definitely. You know? And, like, especially when you're comfortable with somebody, like, and you feel safe, like, you can go there.
Well, it's interesting. I mean,
If you want.
Of course, always, if you want. In my experience, I have seen in a lot of different ways that one of the fundamentals of human desire is wanting what you can't have or what you think you can't have. And I think sometimes that manifests itself in really fucked up ways. But it's something that we can use as a, you know, as a toy or as a tool. And so even if you, for example, like, it may seem more exciting to flirt with somebody new, but actually you really want to be intimate with your partner, mm-hmm. right? So sometimes with teasing your partner, it seems like you, and of course, this is of course all like consensual stuff and not like emotionally manipulative teasing, because that's something entirely different. But if you can sort of tease your partner a little bit and recreate that sense of, like, what if you couldn't have me? Like, what if you had to, like, earn the right to take my clothes off by doing mm-hmm. whatever it is that I want you to do? That's exciting for a lot of people because it... That's one way, I think, to recreate that new relationship energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's... I want to ask you about the unfortunate stereotypes that sort of negative, pejorative stereotypes that come up for me when we talk about this. The first one that comes to mind is the idea of a cock tease, mm-hmm. right? So, like, when I say cock tease, what does that make you think of?
That just, like, makes me feel like there's some, like, sex entitlement.
Right.
That, like, yeah, that it just makes me think that people feel like they're entitled to have sex and to largely women's bodies.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Which they don't.
They don't. Just in case anybody was unclear. Did you see that that schema that somebody made that was like, when does a woman owe you sex? And it's like a flow. Oh, it's a flow chart.
It's a flow chart. I didn't click on it because I knew where it was going. And it was sure. Probably, it just was like never.
Yeah, right. And of course, everything always going back to conclusion. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Right, well, it goes back to what we were talking about before with because we are people who do journalism that is related to sexuality, mm-hmm. people are like, oh, well, you're just teasing us, so now, you know, we're entitled to talk to you about sex, we're entitled to treat you sexually inappropriately, we're entitled to assume that mm-hmm. you will be DTF.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you were saying, it's really just an entitled...
Yeah.
Sexist assumption.
Yeah. And, like, nothing more.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of the stereotype of what people say when they say a cock tease, it's just somebody who is, like, a woman who is sexual, who will...
It's like, it's just like a flirt.
Yeah. And obviously people like flirting.
Yeah.
People really like flirting.
Yeah.
Flirting, I guess, is a way of teasing, right?
A little bit. I mean, that's, like, kind of the idea, but, you know, flirting's awesome. I love flirting.
Yeah.
Everyone loves flirting. I don't know. I love flirting.
Yeah. What do you love about flirting?
I don't know. I just, like, sometimes with some people, my charm and my wit is on point, and I'm constantly impressed with myself. And, like, you know... I think I grew up not thinking I was, like, particularly attractive, and being able to, like, conquer someone who I think is out of my league mm. by way of just being incredibly charming and, like, a good flirt
yeah.
is very satisfying. I'm playing a game with myself. Yeah. It's like, can I do this?
Yeah.
In fact, I can.
You totally can.
Yeah. You yeah. know? And so... Yeah, I think sometimes, like, just seeing, you know, and I'm not always successful, obviously, because, like, half the time when you're flirting with someone, you don't even know what their situation is.
Sure.
Like, you don't know if they're available, if they're in a place where they could do that, you don't know if they're in a relationship, I mean, like, there's so many things, you have no idea. And in that way, when, like, which is, like, one of the things that kind of irritates me sometimes when I'm in bars or just, like, I don't know, consuming whatever, like, what are the situations in which this has happened? I'm trying to think. It just seems like people are frustrated. I've been in a lot of situations when I'm with people when they are frustrated, when they are flirting or talking to strangers, and it doesn't really, like, turn into the magical romance that they thought it was going to turn into. It's like, what do you expect? You're talking to a stranger.
Yeah.
It's like, just because someone is, like, charming and is a good conversationalist and is, like, you know, or really friendly.
Yeah.
Which sometimes gets confused as flirting. They're almost the same thing.
Right.
You know, you can't be upset about that. You can't expect. And I've seen all kinds of people do this.
Yeah.
You know, not just men, everybody.
Yeah.
Be kind of annoyed and irritated that the person that they were talking to, who they thought they were flirting with, they, in fact, probably were not.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe they were, but, like, it can stay there, and that's okay, and you can't be mad about that.
Well, the sad thing is, why can't people... I mean, this goes back to what you were saying about... So this is kind of like social teasing, and you were talking about more like sensual teasing.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes back to what you were talking about before, where you were like, well, why can't this be the best part, or why can't this be, like, a big part of it? Why can't you just enjoy flirting without thinking that it... you are entitled to it leading somewhere, it necessarily has to leave somewhere in order to be worthwhile.
Right, it's like, we still had a great conversation, like, isn't that enough?
Yeah.
Like, I think that should be enough.
You know, and there might be that moment where...
like, you can be disappointed.
Yeah,
you can be a little bummed.
Yeah, you can be disappointed, and then you should probably just, like, fucking get over it.
Yeah, right? And, yeah. Like, you know, there's a million other people, excuse me, out in the world.
To flirt with. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I'm wondering, I wanted to ask you about strip teasing, mm-hmm. and how, you know, clearly there's something about teasing that is really popular, for example, where going to a strip club, really sort of the idea of that, because you don't go to a strip club to have sex.
Mm-mm.
You go to a strip club to, you know, even really the idea of a lap dance is really kind of foreplay.
Oh my god. I've been to so many strip clubs.
What are your emotions about strip clubs?
Depending on the city, they can be really nice.
Yeah.
They can be kind of relaxing.
Yeah.
They can kind of be this nice anonymous place where you can just, like, drink a beer and look at some babes.
Yeah.
And it can also be, like, a really fun place to go with your friends and just, like, kind of have, like, a mischievous evening.
Totally.
Which has been a lot of my experience. Those two have been, like, a lot of my experiences in strip clubs. I've gone with, like, really good friends of mine, and it's, like, always been fun.
It really is sort of, like, the performance of foreplay.
Yeah. Right? And one time I went, I don't know, like, how, why, if I bought a lap dance, I don't know. And it was, like, incredibly arousing.
Yeah.
I don't know how so many, like, largely men put themselves through that torture. Like,
well, I think because of what you were just describing, that the torture is...
It was so nice, but, like, I really wanted more. Like, it was, like, yeah. You know, like, I was so close. And it was so unbelievably, like, erotic, and I, like, couldn't take it. And, like, I mean, I fucking think women are really hot. And so... like, it was really hard. I was just like, oh my god, I'm never getting a lap dance again. Like, you know what I mean? It was just, because, okay, when you're, like, intimate with someone, you know that if you want it, like, that there's this, a larger potential for it to, like, to lead to, like, an orgasm, whereas in this situation, there was absolutely no potential of that. Unless...
until you go home.
Until I go home.
Yeah.
I suppose. I never really thought about it that way. That's true.
Yeah. Then it's in the spank bank.
Yeah. It still is. Oh my god, that night.
Well, is there anything, before we wrap up, because I know you have to go to work.
Yeah.
Any sort of closing thoughts from this conversation, or anything you want to leave the listeners with?
No. I don't think so.
Cool.
Have fun.
Yeah. Maybe this episode itself will end up being a bit of a tease for people.
Yeah, I'm super, like, really turned on right now. It sucks that I have to go to work right now.
Well, if you want, I can just, you know, I can go grab a coffee and leave you here with your thoughts for a little while.
That's funny. I don't think that's strange.
I don't think it's strange either.
It's totally normal.
I totally agree. Well, maybe we'll just,
we'll leave that hanging.
Yeah, I'll leave that mystery of whether or not that happens. Okay, yeah. Well, thanks for coming over and talking, Mitra.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, and everybody check out Audio Smut on, is Audio Smut .ca?
Yep.
Yeah, because Canada.
Yeah, audiosmut.ca.
And you can subscribe on iTunes.
That's right.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks a lot.
No problem. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
I'd like to take a moment to thank my sponsors, Smitten Kitten. Smitten Kitten helps to make all my dirty, slutty dreams come true, and I know they can help you with yours too. Whether you're in the Minneapolis area or just surfing the information superhighway, Smitten Kitten is the place I know, and I know a lot of places like this, to buy dildos and instructional books and porn and other romantic sundry items. So check them out at smittenkittenonline.com or go to their brick and mortar store in Minneapolis if you're in the area. Thanks for downloading or streaming episode 13. You can listen to every single episode of Why Are People Into That for free on our fancy website, whyarepeopleintothat.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Into That Podcast. And of course, I, as ever, am at Tina Horn's Ass. Please subscribe on iTunes as if your life depended on it, and take a second to give us a rating or a review. In a few short weeks, you'll get to hear the brilliant Connor Habib talking about ways you can transform orgasms into magic and use sex to fight the power. Till then, I'm Tina Horn, signing off.
Call to time. We are smuggler in the cumbersome image of love. Feel so much. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.